good. I also want to make mention, Brother Jim Yesakevich. I'll be praying for him. He Penny called yesterday, and Brother Jim's been having some trouble with his leg. Sean, is that right? Some lot of pain there. And if you only knew, you know, he's not here, so I can say this. He, you know, if you only knew the pain that he goes through sitting here, you know, and God knows he's faithful. He's here. He's always, preacher, what do you need? You can tell he's always active, and he loves being in his Sunday school class, but this week he just was in a lot of pain. So I want you to be praying for Brother Jim this week. I know he's going to have a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. So be praying for Brother Jim. And I know there's others that aren't feeling well. So let's just be mindful of praying for one another. This is a treat. Last week I had a young lady come to me and say, preacher, could I go ahead and sing a song, sing a special? I said, yeah, sure, you can go ahead and sing a special. Young lady's been here for quite a little while now, since Walker's, I ought to say. I've been coming since Brother Walker was here and so forth, faithful, and just very excited about the ministry. And I'm delighted to have Janelle come up and sing a special for us this morning.
As you all know, I'm kind of nervous at doing this because the last time I sang was probably the spring concert for my school, and I had my first solo in high school then. And I learned this song about 3 years ago before my mom passed at Temple Baptist Church in West Bridgewater with Brother Joe and Dina. And here it is. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I praise your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to only read one verse here this morning. I'm kind of playing a switcheroo a little bit. I had, of course, a couple messages ready for Sunday and for tonight as well. And I'm preaching tonight's message now, originally, and I'm preaching the message that was for this morning tonight. So anyways, I just felt like the Lord was just leading me this way. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. One verse. Wow, you know. Well, don't put your shoes on yet, ladies, okay? All right. But Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to just read this verse together. Mark chapter 7, verses 24. And we'll read it together. Ready? And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for that, all that we've heard this morning. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you for the beautiful music that's sung here at Faith Baptist Church, the old-time hymns, the old-time songs, the ones that have been tried and tested, and we do thank you that they are so available to us. We thank you for the old book that we get to preach each and every week. Now, Holy Spirit, we need you. I'm asking you to please fall upon me, give me strength this morning, fall upon every heart. May we leave here closer to you than when we came, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message is Jesus Cannot Be Hid. Jesus cannot be hid. Of course, the last statement, phrase there in verse 24, but he could not be hid. You know, we live in a day that it seems like they're just all out trying to hide the name of Jesus. Our society is doing all they can to hide him. They've taken God out of our public schools. They've taken him out of our public square. Although I did hear, it seems like just recently I heard that they are going to teach Bible in Texas, in the public schools in Texas this year. Heard that this week. It was actually on the news. I was very surprised. Sure, somewhere along the way, I don't know exactly what and how they're going to teach it, but I had heard that in Texas, in the public schools this year, they are going to be teaching Bible and so forth. To me, that was amazing, just that thought. But God's been taken out of our public schools. He's been taken out of our public squares. You look around at Christmas, it'll be soon enough. Amen? Seems like the year has just flown by, but they've taken Christ out of Christmas. It seems like the devil's just having an attack, overtime attack, if you will, upon Jesus and his name today. The world wants to hide Jesus. God's been taken out of our nation. He's been taken out of America. Like it or not, devil, like it or not, world, America was founded upon God's word right here. Again, I say America was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. You go all over our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., you'll see monuments and you'll see inscriptions that make reference to God. I tell you, it'd take one big chisel to go around all the monuments and all the inscriptions that are in our nation's capital to go ahead and whittle away the name God. But they want to go ahead and take him away. They want to go ahead and hide him, if you will. Politicians want to control the airwaves and so that nothing of truth, the truth of the Word of God, can't be broadcasted to the ear of the listeners. It proves that the devil's truly the prince and the power of the air, as it says, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Hollywood mocks our Savior. Hollywood mocks godly living. The music today mocks Christ and the Bible and the Word of God, teaching rebellion, which the Scripture teaches is the sin of witchcraft, which is demonic. So just what is the agenda? What is the plan? Of course, the plan is to go ahead and just push God out of everything. The plan is to go ahead and just push his name right out. Today, I just want to say we need to take Jesus back. We need to bring Jesus back. We need to bring him back into our public schools. Let me just say this, teenager, a young person, if you are in the public school this morning, if that's where you have to go for such a time as this, you stand for Jesus Christ. The public school system, the teachers need to go ahead and see Jesus in you. You don't have to go ahead and buckle to their teaching. You need to listen. You need to be respectful. But the truth of the matter is you don't need to buckle to their teaching. You don't need to go ahead and buckle to their ways, if you will. Hey, what we need is we need some young people in the public school that'll stand for Christ and not go ahead and just fall by the wayside and not go ahead and just go with the status quo and not go with the attitude of the world. Hey, we need to bring Jesus back today. Hey, you know what? God has been pushed out of our public square. The devil wants to go ahead and hide Jesus' name, if you will. He wants to take the name of Christ and hide it. He wants to hide the name of our Savior. He's very slick. The Bible says he'll go ahead and come as an angel of light. He may look good. He may sound good. He may even go ahead and add a little bit of Christian lingo to his speech to try to hurt the cause of Christ, if you will. You know, the devil won't come in this red suit. He won't have these horns. He won't necessarily come with a pointed tail or pitchfork. He will just come to you as an ordinary being trying to go ahead and sway you and deceive you, if you will, and trying to hide, if you will, the name of Christ. He wants nothing more to hide Christ from society. I want to say this morning to the devil. I want to say this morning to his cronies. I want to say this morning to Hollywood. I want to say this morning to the wicked music industry, if you will. I want to say this morning to anyone who hates Christ or anyone that wants to push away Christ. The Bible says his name cannot be hid. The Bible says right here, let's just look at the Word of God just for a moment. Our verse, that last phrase, but he could not be hid. This chapter, this whole chapter, I didn't take time and go through it this morning. I'm just going to break it down with you for you real quickly this morning. This chapter contains one message and two miracles. The message was that the Pharisees, was to the Pharisees, if you will, about the outward signs of religion while inwardly they were defiling themselves. It was about a works religion, if you will. Verses 1 through 23, Jesus is preaching to them and scolding them for that. The first miracle was with the healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. The second miracle is about the healing of a deaf man. The miracles performed here and the message that the people heard, it brought forth a response in verse number 37. And after the miracles were performed, after the message had been preached, the people had a response here in verse 37 and were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well." Who is he? That is Jesus Christ. "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Hey, they were surprised. They were astonished by the works of Jesus Christ. People were amazed. They could not believe what they saw, saying, "He hath done all things well." Of course he's done all things well because he's Jesus Christ. Our Lord has done things well. You know, the world may not want to recognize it. People may not want to go ahead and recognize it. Obviously, the devil's not going to go ahead and recognize it. But you know what? He has done all things well. His creation was done well. Amen. Boy, you know what? You just look around and you can stand in awe of his creation each and every day. Boy, you know, the fall season's coming. I know some of you know, it's getting colder and so forth. That's okay. I like the four seasons. Amen. But you just think here, just a few months and just a few short weeks, you get to walk down a street, maybe walk down a little path, and you thank God we live out in the country out here in Carver, amen, and you get to see all the pretty colors. You know what? Boy, you know, every time I see his beautiful creation, to me, I take it personal, and I take it that Jesus is saying, "I love you." He knows how much I love the fall. I love, it's my favorite time of year, and every time I see the pretty colors, every time I see his handiwork, if you will, you know, to me, it just is him telling me he loves me. You know what? By the way, his creation was done well. Yeah, even the snow that comes, you know what? His creation is done well. Even in the hot heat of the summer, his creation is done well. Even in the springtime, up here, up in Maine, we used to call it mud season. What I'm trying to say, his creation is done well. Despite what the evolution says, despite what the anti-God person says, despite what the anti-Christian one says, you know, his creation is done well. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. It takes a whole lot more faith. You know, but despite what they say, you know what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You have God's word upon it. You have God's perfect word upon it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. But I'm saying this morning, his creation was done well. His salvation is done well. Despite what the works crowd wants to say, despite what the any other way crowd wants to say, you go ahead and you go get to heaven through this religion, or you get to heaven by taking the sacraments, or you get to heaven by being baptized, or you get to heaven by doing good works and so forth, despite what they say. Hey, you know, the Bible says in John 14:6, "I am the way," Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hey, the only way to Jesus Christ only way to God is through Jesus Christ and the finished work on Calvary. What I'm trying to say, hey, you know, his salvation is done well. Hey, you know, on the cross, after the beating and the scourging, after being spat upon, after the crown of thorns, he hung on that cross, and the very last word he cried, he said, "It is finished." Hey, what I'm saying this morning, his salvation is done well. His revelation is done well. The word of God has been done well. I thank God that we have a perfect book this morning. I thank God that we get to hide his word in our hearts. I thank God that we have an offensive weapon, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians 6, an offensive weapon against the devil and against his crowd and against the crowd that wants to go ahead and water down the word of God and water down the Christian ways, if you will. I thank God that his revelation, the word of God, that has been settled forever in heaven, the Bible says, it's been done well. So is it any wonder that the Bible says he cannot be hid? After he preached to the scribes and Pharisees, "I see a weary Savior, a tired Savior." He was trying to depart from them for a little while, maybe to get a little bit of rest. There he entered a certain house. He wanted to get a little bit of rest, I think. The Bible says he could not be hid. People just thronged him. People just couldn't stay away from him because there was something unusual about Jesus. Why? Because he's our Savior. He's our Savior. He could perform miracles. He is the one that God, through His divine plan, sent His only Son Jesus had to be born of a Virgin Mary at Bethlehem. And 33 years later, He was to go ahead and be the perfect Lamb that was slain. He died on the cross. Hey, you know what? There was something unusual about Jesus. He was our Savior. Is it no wonder He could not be hid? For example, at His birth, He could not be hid. You know, I just alluded to it a moment ago in Bethlehem. God put a special star that night over Bethlehem, if you will, the night He was born. And a group of angels, they were so excited as Isaiah, as the Old Testament prophesied, that the Messiah is going to come. And it came that morning, that Christmas morning, if we want to go ahead and refer to that. But it came that morning, a group of angels, they were excited. And they went to some shepherds out in the field, some lowly shepherds out in the field. And they went ahead and proclaimed glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill. To men, they could hardly contain themselves. They were so excited. The Messiah had come. Hey, they were saying, hey, shepherds, look over there. Look over Bethlehem. You see that star? That's where Jesus is. That's where the Messiah is. That's where the Savior of all the world is. Hey, you know what? At His birth, He could not be hid. At His presentation, they could not hide Him. When the days were fulfilled at the end of Luke chapter 2, you read of a story there. When the days were fulfilled, Mary brought Jesus to the temple to present Him to the Lord as the law of Moses commanded. And in that temple was a man named by the name of Simon. And the Bible teaches that Simon would not see death until he went ahead and he saw the Savior. And Jesus and Mary brought the Savior to the temple. And there Simon was. And Simon went ahead and held that little baby in his arms. And he went ahead. He saw the Holy Ghost had been revealed to Simon. He would not see death. There he held the little baby there, little baby Jesus. He took him and in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hey, you know what? At his presentation, at his birth, he couldn't be hid. They couldn't go ahead and hide him. As a matter of fact, there was a star that proclaimed him that he is born, that the Savior, that the Messiah, that the Savior of all the world is born. At his birth, he could not be hid. At his presentation, he could not be hid. At his baptism, he could not be hid. You remember John the Baptist there in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist was the one to go ahead and baptize Jesus. He thought, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not, you know, he should be baptizing me. But John the Baptist, he had preached of one that would come after him, whose shoe latches he was not worthy to unloosen. Jesus appeared. John lifted up his hand and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I can see old John the Baptist. He was not your typical preacher, by the way. You know what? He was not dressed up in a suit and tie like I am this morning. You know what? He had a leather girdle on. The Bible says he was a woodsy kind of guy. Amen. You know, if the truth are met, but he was a preacher. He was the one that would baptize Jesus. And when John baptized him, the Bible says the heavens were open and God echoed from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, you know what? In his baptism, he could not be hid. Of course, in his earthly ministry, could not be hid. Here he's performing some duties, if you will, in his earthly ministry. In our text, often when he was tired, he'd try to sneak away, get a little bit of rest, and they would throng him, the people would throng him, but he could not hide from them. Why? Because he could not be hid. At his crucifixion, he could not be hid. Though the world denied him as Lord, and today our world today is denying him as Lord, all creation revealed that he was the Son of God. You think of it, on the day that he was crucified, he was hanging on that tree. The Bible teaches that the sun refused to shine that day. The Bible teaches that the moon gave no light. The Bible says that the earth trembled and the rocks split asunder. He was lifted openly and publicly between heaven and earth. What I'm saying, at his crucifixion, he could not be hid. At his burial, he could not be hid. Of course, we know the story here. They placed his body in a borrowed empty tomb, and they put a stone over the door, and the soldiers determined that he is finished. He is gone. He is dead. They were excited. I can imagine they were excited because ever since Genesis right on through to Revelation, the devil is doing everything he can to destroy Jesus and God's eternal plan, and they thought, yes, we got him. He died. They took his limp body down off that cross. They put him in an empty tomb. They put a Roman seal around that stone. For 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor in the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints still reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Hey, you know what? Can you imagine how the earth shook? Can you imagine the glory that was going on in heaven when he said, "It is finished"? And 3 days later, he arose. Hey, what I'm saying, at his burial, he could not be hid. Boy, death, hell, and the grave could not hide him. Jesus, tough guy to hide. Why bother even trying? Why would we want to try to hide him? I'm talking about to us right now. Yeah, the devil for centuries have gone ahead and want to defame his name and to try to hide him and to try to destroy his name and try to make it that he's not real and say that it's just fiction. Heaven is a myth. For centuries, the devil's gone ahead and tried to do that. But why, Christian, would we want to try to hide him? Why would we want to go ahead? Is it because we're ashamed of him? How often sometimes those who profess to be saved, sometimes we just kind of, when it comes time to maybe take a stand for Christ, we don't take a stand. May I ask why? Is it because we're afraid we'll be mocked at? Let me tell you something, the mockery that one may go ahead and laugh at you at the job site, the mockery they may go ahead and give you anywhere else at work or at school, let me tell you something, that's nothing compared to the mockery of Jesus Christ. That's nothing compared to what he went through on that cross. You know what? He cannot be hid. Why do we want to bother to try to hide him? Teen, why do you want to try to push him away? Teenager, why do you want to go ahead and hide him today? Why do you choose your music, your worldly music over him? Why do you choose your friends over God? Hey, Christian, why do you choose stuff? Why do you choose sports? Why do you choose things over church attendance, over walking with God, over doing things for God? Hey, let me tell you something. He can see you. Hey, he's not hidden. He knows where you are this morning. You can try to hide. You can try to push him away. But let me tell you something, Christian. He knows where you are this morning. He knows where you stand spiritually this morning. He knows whether you've talked to him this week or not. He knows where, you know what? You can go. We can go ahead and look the part. We can go ahead and say, boy, I look like the part. I look like the Christian I ought to be. You know, certainly I'm going to fake out my mom and dad. Certainly I might go ahead and fake out the preacher. I might go ahead and fake out my Sunday school teacher. But we'll never fake out God. God knows exactly where we are spiritually. God knows whether we try to acknowledge him this week or not. God knows whether we try to go ahead and pay attention to him this week or not. But I'm saying this morning, he can't be hid. I thank God that he can't be hid. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Number one, he cannot be hid from those who seek him. Boy, I thank God for that. You know, he cannot be hid from those who seek him. Jeremiah 29, turn to a few scriptures here. Jeremiah 29, and ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know what? This morning, he cannot be hid from those who seek him. The Bible says that I'll read that, and ye shall seek me and find me. It doesn't say, ye shall seek me and not find me. No, ye shall seek me. That's a promise right there. And find me when ye search for me with all your heart. When the soul is tired and weary, you know what? He can be found. You know what? How often, you know, people say, and I've got to shed this off just a little bit. I promise you that's as far as I'll go. Amen. But the truth is here, when the soul is tired and weary, you know what? You can find a Savior. You may be in the valley this morning. Listen to me. You may be in the valley this morning, but you know what? You can always find Jesus. He's never leaving. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Not the world, not the devil. So often, sometimes when we get so weary and under a load and under the battle, and the battle seems too much, sometimes we shake our fist at the person who we should be running to. That's Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go ahead and we run to the world, and we'll, or we run to the bar room, or we run to earthly or worldly devices, which will not go ahead and help you. What I'm saying this morning, you may be tired and weary. You may be tired of the illness. You may be tired of the battle. You may be tired of your financial struggles. You may be tired of the economy going wayward. You may be tired this morning, but let me tell you something. Jesus is right there. He's not going to be hid from those who seek him. Hey, the Bible, the scripture says, and it's a promise, and ye shall seek me and find me. Hey, this morning, maybe you're tired of the battle and you're just about ready to give up. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you been seeking after God? Have you been pursuing after God? Have you been going after him? He's right there, Christian. He's right there. Maybe here today, and I'll get to a little bit more in just a moment. Maybe here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven. Maybe you never did seek after him as far as your salvation. Boy, let me encourage you. You ought to settle that this morning. You don't have to die and not know for sure you're going to heaven. The Bible teaches you can know for sure you're going to heaven. We'll get to that in just a moment. But he cannot be hid from those who seek him. Hey, you can go ahead and run after him. You know he's available this morning. He's available this morning. He's on call all the time. You know, he doesn't just go ahead and say, well, I don't have time for you. No, he's on call all the time. He says, come unto me. There's no time limit. 7 days a week, he's on time. He's there for you. 12 months of the year, he's there. 52 weeks of the year, he's there. 365 days a year. You know what? You can call on God every single moment. Jesus is always available. You can find him when you seek him. He's always waiting for you to make the first move. And when you open your heart's door to him, he's ready to come in. Now, I'm talking to you Christians this morning. Some of you are just tired. You know what? Let me ask you a question. Who are you running to this morning? Who are you seeking after? Well, you know, I've tried this. It just seems like that God doesn't understand. Let me tell you something. God does understand. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the needs that you have. He knows exactly the struggles that you're going through. He knows exactly the heartaches that you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. Hey, don't you run away from the very one that can help you. Don't you run away from the very one that'll give you strength. Don't you run away from the very one that'll give you joy that's unspeakable and full of glory this morning. Hey, he cannot be hid from those who seek him. Are you seeking after him this morning? You know what? By the way, he won't force himself on you either. You know, Joshua, at the end of his life, he says, Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, he was most likely talking to a bunch of Christians there too. You know, Christians get a little bit wayward. They were maybe seeking after worldly desires and so forth. But you know what? He says, go ahead and choose. Choose what you want. You want the world? You want the Amorites? You want the Hivites? You want all the Hittites and so forth? You want all that? You know what? But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know what, God's not going to come down and grab you by the nap and the next day, you go ahead and serve me. You know, let me just talk to you here a moment, Christian. Boy, you ought to be growing each and every day. Boy, you know, you ought to get that spring in your step. You ought to get that desire. Maybe you're here today, you know you're saved. You know you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But is the joy gone? Is the excitement gone? Could it be, is the desire to hear the preaching of the Word of God gone? Is that desire to go ahead and raise the children for right gone? Is that desire to do anything that's right? Is it gone? Hey, let me ask you a question. How much have you spent time with God this week? How much have you desired? How much did you seek after him? Let me tell you something. He's not hidden from you this morning. You can go after him and he'll be available to you. He's not going to force yourself himself on you. You just need to go to him and he'll open up and he'll come to you. Hey, listen to me. He's not going to force himself on you. He wants you to make the first move. Every Christian will face a time when you're going to feel, when you feel you can't go any further. Everybody does. I've been there. I've told you, I've been open about some of the times I've been there. When cancer came, I had a little period of time. I didn't feel like wanting to go ahead and go any further either when my wife had cancer. It was a little time I just wanted to shut the door. I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand why this, you know, I was serving full time. God, why is this happening to me? Why would this, why? And the truth of the matter is at the end of the day, I thank God he whipped me around a little bit. But at the end of the day, I could see why. At the end of the day, he showed me why. Let me tell you something. Let me just stop and say this. And I feel like we've always had a close family, and I hope we always have. But let me tell you something. Ever since that biggest battle of our life, we've never been any closer. And I think my wife will testify that we've never been any closer than we are now. You know what? Let me just say this. My wife, who went through it that year, we're the best buds that we ever, we're the most best buds. I don't know if I said it right, but we are the best, most best buds, I don't know, than we ever have been. He's my best buddy. You know, we're closer than we ever have been. I'm closer to my children. I'm not bragging here, but you know what? Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God will go ahead and throw some things in your way. A curveball may kind of be shot in your life, so to speak, and you didn't expect it. You know, let me just say this. You know what? There's not anything that's going to come by your way that God didn't know about first. You know what? Let me tell you something. When I got married in 1990, God knew that cancer was going to hit our home in 2006. I wish I'd have known. Sure. We'd always like to know that, but let me tell you something. There is not anything that comes by your way that God doesn't know about first. Boy, I like that. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that who breathed life into us, the one who went ahead and created this creation, He thinks of little old me. I'm not that old, okay? But he thinks of me. He thinks of Sean, I mean, at that time, a Maine boy, a country boy, serving full-time as an assistant pastor on the staff. He knew. Yeah, he knew. And let me tell you something. There's going to come a time, Christian, that you're going to feel like you can't go any further. But let me tell you something. God's on call this morning. You know, you might need to, as the scripture says right here, and ye shall seek me. I love that next phrase. And find me. You know what? It's a matter of you seeking. It's a matter of you deciding this morning, I'm going to seek. You know, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hey, listen to me. You know what? Maybe you need to get seeking again. Hey, Christian, you might not totally understand why, and you may not be revealed right now why. It will come later on in God's time. But let me tell you something. While you're wondering why, you just keep on seeking anyways. You keep on pursuing after God. You keep on going after God. You keep on reading the Bible. You keep on teaching your kids. You keep on raising them kids that God has given you for the glory of the God. You keep on being in church. You keep on coming with an excitement and a desire. Lord, teach me something from the Word of God when I go to church. Teach me something in that Sunday school class. You keep on serving on that bus route. You keep on serving in that Sunday school class. You keep on serving in that nursery. You keep on seeking after God. Don't you go ahead and quit. Hey, that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants to go ahead and see. You know, he knows if you're saved this morning, he can't take your soul with him to hell one day. But let me tell you something. He'd like to go ahead and make your journey of the Christian life as displeasing to God as possible. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. We have all power to go ahead and kick the old smutty face in the face. Through Jesus Christ. We've got to seek after him. You know what? Maybe you're facing it today. Maybe you feel like you can't go any further. But you know what? Remember the day at the cross? Remember that time at the cross? At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Thank you very much. I won't go on the road, I just promise you that, you know. I could and probably do pretty well, but anyways, but remember the cross. Remember the cross where it all began? When you realized you were a sinner and you sought after God? Hey, now Christian, as a child of God, why don't you continue to seek after him? Why don't you keep on growing? Why don't you keep on keeping on? Boy, I thank God he didn't hide his face on the day of salvation, of my salvation. Well, every believer today, you need to seek after him and you'll find him. He'll never leave you or forsake you, he promises. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Number two, he cannot be hid from those who find him. He cannot be hid from those who find him. In Acts chapter 4, turn to Acts chapter 4 if you like, or you just jot these down, look at them later. I'm moving right along. We're doing very, very well. I promise you that today. I am actually very serious. We're doing very, very well. If you saw my notes, I only have 2 pages. See? We're doing really, really good, okay? Amen. All right? But Acts chapter 4, 13, he cannot be hid from those who find him. Let me just go ahead and read, and I'll talk about the context of it in just a moment. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Here's two preachers. They were out there on the streets. They were going ahead and preaching. They were healing. They were doing miracles through Jesus Christ. And now they were there before the court. They were arrested. They were before the court. Now the court is there. They're before the jury, if you will, the worldly court, if you will, the Sanhedrin, as the Bible teaches here. And the world, when they saw their boldness, Peter and John, you know what? They weren't quiet about the matter. They said, you need to stop preaching. And Peter gets up and says, let me tell you why we do what we do. They were not quiet about it. And you can read the testimony there of Peter. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were surprised at their speech. They were surprised at their demeanor. They were surprised at their outward appearance, if you will. They knew, the Bible says right here, they knew that they had been, and they took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. Hey, you know what? The world could tell that they had been with Jesus. They weren't ashamed of God. He cannot be hid from those who find him. The Sanhedrin, after they testified, they marveled. They realized they were different. They understood. They looked at these men. They marveled and they realized that Peter and John, they were different people. At salvation, you know what? Everything ought to be different. Amen? When you got saved, boy, you know what? That burden of sin had been lifted off you. You went ahead and you gave it off. You left it off at the cross. You've been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He shed every drop of His blood. And what I'm trying to say this morning, you ought to be different. You know what? They could tell. Here, they testified about Jesus. Their demeanor was different. Everything was different about Peter and John. They weren't ashamed to speak up for Jesus. And they could tell that they'd been with Jesus. But he cannot hide from those who find Him. These people, they found Jesus Christ. They were saved individuals. They knew for sure they were on their way to heaven, and they weren't ashamed to go ahead and proclaim it in front of a worldly court and in front of the whole world. They weren't ashamed of preaching His name. They weren't ashamed of telling people about Jesus. Why? Because they were different. Boy, we ought to be different. The Bible says, let me see here. I lost my place here. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, when you get saved, you're a new man. You are a new creature. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Boy, there ought to be a spring in your step. Hey, you know what? There's a difference about Peter and John. They marveled. Their testimony, there was something different. Everything was different about them. Their look was different. Their talk was different. They did different things. Even their smell was different. Salvation by grace will go ahead and change you. Hey, what I'm saying, are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as Savior? Hey, Christian, at the job site, are you ashamed to go ahead and take a stand for Christ when the worldly jokes are being passed around? Are you ashamed to go ahead and take a stand for Christ when everything else seems to be going wrong? Hey, what I'm saying, the world needs your testimony. That's one of the greatest things you have, by the way, once you get saved, is your testimony. You know what? People can tell, or people ought to tell, that you're different. People ought to tell by your joy. People ought to tell by your demeanor. People ought to tell that you're different. Hey, you know what? He cannot be hid from those who find Him. You know, you seek after Him. You seek after Him in the dark days. You seek after Him even on the high days and the great days. You know what? There's going to be, you're nurturing that relationship with Him. And when the dark days come, you'll have the strength to go ahead and go through it. And let me tell you something. When you go through them dark days, you know what? It's gonna be such that the world will see you go, when you go through it, they're going to see that you're consistent in your Christian walk. They're going to see that joy, even when the dark times come, even when the struggles come. I remember when we went through some of our struggles, when we went through cancer, some people have asked, how in the world can you go ahead and get through all this? Well, how often the response was, we couldn't do it without the Lord. You know what? Listen to me. You may go through it. You can't do it without God. Boy, you ought to cling to Jesus Christ this morning. Boy, the world ought to tell that you are with Him, that every single day that you're with Him. You know what? Before the Sanhedrin, they were not ashamed to speak Christ. They went ahead and just told it like it is. And they marveled that they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because they were different. Their face, their countenance, their behavior. Your face, your countenance, your behavior should tell the world, boy, there's something different about you. You know, and I'll use this personal illustration. Even today, but when our kids were younger, especially when our kids were younger, you know, they'd see us go into a restaurant, four kids. Sometimes you take four kids, it's like World War III, amen? You know, I've seen it. Been there, even done it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a little bit of discipline, a little bit of structure and so forth. You know what? You can go to a restaurant with four kids, believe it or not, and people can tell that there's a difference. People can tell there's something different. How often, and I'm not bragging here, don't misunderstand me, but you know how often they'd go ahead and say there's something different about your family. I've had people come by, just walk by and say, you know, you've got such a lovely family. There's something different. And oftentimes it'd be a chance to go ahead and show them the gospel, give them a track, and let me tell you why things are different. You know, I'd go to the workplace, and when I went to the workplace, and when I worked in the world, how often people would go ahead, and I've been mocked, like you. You take a stand for Jesus Christ, you will be mocked. But you know, the truth of the matter is, how often they go ahead, I had one man who I led to the Lord, boy, for a couple years, he was just kind of making fun. Yeah, here comes a preacher, man. Here comes a preacher, boy. Here comes a pastor guy. Every time they went ahead, I'd say, well, thank you very much for the compliment. I won this man to Christ. And he says, Sean, your consistency. I mean, we would mock you. We'd be over on the other side of the lunchroom, and we would go ahead and mock you and make fun of you, but you never wavered. And you know what? He says, thank you for that. And he said, you know, he says, it was that that went ahead and spoke to my heart about getting saved. Hey, what I'm trying to say, your testimony will make a difference. You know, people can tell whether you've been with Jesus or not. And just like here, you know what? He cannot be hid from those who find him. You seek after him this morning, he can't be hid. I thank God that he doesn't hide from us. Number three, and believe it or not, this is our last point. He cannot be hid from those who reject him. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1. The Bible says this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also, in verse number 7, I'm sorry, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You know what? He can't be hid from those who reject him. You know, the Bible says every eye shall see him. The Bible also says here, and they also which pierced him. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, boy, them soldiers that went ahead and mocked him and scourged him, they're going to remember. They're going to remember. Pilate's going to remember. All those who went ahead and they that hung Jesus on that cross will remember. Because the Bible says, the scripture says, God says, every eye shall see him. You know, a sinner may go through life unconcerned about eternity. People may go through life unconcerned about eternity. A sinner may never seek the Lord. They may, how often I go door knocking and I go through the plan of salvation and don't want it, they'll reject it and so forth. You'll never find him. They won't care to find him. They won't care to seek after God. But there will come a time when they will care. The Bible teaches there will come a time that every eye is going to see him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, the Bible says, you can turn to it if you like, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, you know what? He can't be hid from those that reject him. Hey, we can sit here today and reject him, maybe be lost, not know for sure we're on our way to heaven, but every eye, we have God's word on it, every eye is going to go ahead and see him. The soldier that went ahead and mocked him, they're going to go ahead and see him. The Hollywood crowd that makes movies against him, they're going to go ahead and see him. The rock music crowd is going to go ahead and see him. The rebellious crowd is going to go ahead and see him. Believer and unbeliever alike is going to go ahead and see him. The crowd who loves Jesus, they know for sure they're on the way to heaven. They're awaiting that time that they get to go ahead and bow before him. But the Bible says that everyone will see him. Anybody that rejects God, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the Hollywood, all the music, all the wicked people, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He can't be hid from those who reject him. They may think they're having their fun right now. They may think that they're having a time of their life right now. But one day they're going to bow, the Bible says. One day every tongue is going to confess, holy, holy, holy. One day they're going to realize you are Jesus. One day those who are not saved, and this is such a sad instant, you know what? The books will be open. The Bible says in Revelation, the books will be open. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, in the book of life, was cast in a lake of fire. You know, people that rejected him, people that turned their back on him, sadly enough, people who just never heard the gospel, their name's not found written in the book of life. The Bible says that every knee shall bow. The Bible also says, depart from me, ye work of iniquity, for I never knew you. And let me tell you something. Let me just say this. There's going to be no hiding that day. You know, the very people that have rejected him on this side of heaven, they like to hide at that time. But the Bible says every knee is going to bow. They're going to see his glory like they've never seen it before. And you're not going to help but just fall to your knees and say, oh God. And it doesn't matter who they are. Every knee shall bow. He cannot be hid from those who reject him. Boy, let me just say this morning. If you're not saved this morning, don't reject him any longer. Don't push him away. Boy, the Holy Spirit's working on your heart this morning to get saved. You ought to get saved. The Bible says you can know for sure that if you'd have died today, you'd go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know it this morning. You can be saved and know it this morning. You don't have to doubt it anymore. You don't have to say, well, I think I'm going. No, the Bible says you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. You got to understand, the Bible says, teaches, you got to understand some things. Number one, we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned. All, that's a very broad word. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says that we have to understand we're a sinner. There's a price on sin, for the wages of sin is death. That word death there in the Bible is not talking about a physical cause. It's talking about a separation from God forever in a place called hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell paralleled as the same or cast in a lake of fire. This is a second death. And all you have to do, my friend, is understand you're a sinner. Understand there's a price on sin. But you know the good news is this. Jesus, he paid your price. He paid for all the sin debt. You don't have to sit here. Don't reject him anymore. All you have to do is simply open your heart to him. Realize you're a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. And he promises to do so, because in Romans 10:13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got God's word on it. It's not a Baptist way. It's not a Catholic way. It's not a Presbyterian way. It's not a Mormon way. It's not any other way. You have God's word on it this morning. You can know this morning. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you've been rejecting Christ, maybe in your heart you know that you're not saved. Why don't you go ahead and settle that today? You know, maybe say, well, no, later on. But let me just say this. What if later on doesn't come? You know, life is uncertain. It is. You know, believe me, I love life. I love life. I love getting up and enjoying a new day, and I look forward to a new day, and I hope that I get to go ahead and preach behind this pulpit till I'm 95 years old. Amen? Some of you are saying, oh, okay. But the truth of the matter is, I love life. But you know what? Because of my accepting Jesus, realizing I was a sinner, realizing there was a price on sin, and all I had to do was just open my heart and accept Jesus as my Savior, I know today, because of God's word, because of what Jesus did on that cross, I know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. And you can too. You have God's word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you a question. I thank God. Let me just say this. I thank God he's not hiding on me today. I thank God that when I do go through it, and I do. Some of you say, nah, you're always on top side. If you only knew. God knows my heart. But you know what? When I go through it, I thank God that he's available to me. All the time. There's never a time that he's hung up on me. There's never a time that he has taken a day off. He's available all the time. You know, he's not hiding today. But Christian, let me ask you a question real quick. Are you hiding on him? Remember Adam? He knew he sinned. He broke God's law. Adam! Where art thou? He was hiding on God. You know, maybe, listen to me. We can try to hide on him, and God knows right where. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, the Bible says. He knows right where you are. He knows what you may think you're, he knows that sin that you may think you're hiding on everybody else. You know what, Christian, maybe you don't have that joy. Maybe you don't have that joy that's unspeakable and that spring in your step, whatever it is, because there's something in your life that God says, why don't you go ahead and come seek after me? Why don't you come unto me? Why don't you go ahead and lay that sin upon the altar and let me confess it and verbally just do some business with me? You know, if that's the case, you know what? You think you're hiding on him, but you know you're not. You know, and by the way, you say, well, God doesn't want to hear me. Yes, he does, because he's not hiding on you this morning. You know, I thank God we get to have access to him. You know, number one, he cannot be hid from those who seek him. Boy, I thank God. He cannot be hid from those who find him. And number three, he cannot be hid from those who reject him. Christian, are you seeking after God this morning? Maybe, you know, you're saved, and as far as you know, you're doing things right, but are you really seeking him the way that you should? I mean, do you get up and have that walk with God? Do you get up and have that prayer life? You have that, get up and have that closet, as the Bible teaches, that prayer closet, if you will, where it's just you and God. Have you been seeking him? you know he's available to you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've been rejecting him, and maybe you've heard the gospel, you say, I'm not ready. Why don't you make today the day of salvation? Don't push him away anymore. You know, I thank God that he is accessible all the time. An unsaved one, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, he's available to you. He wants to save you. All you have to do in just a few minutes, maybe you're here like that, just a few minutes at invitation time, why don't you walk down the aisle and you shake my hand and say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to know. And we'll have someone show you from the precious word of God how you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. Hey, Christian, if you're here today, you're not where you ought to be. Maybe you've got a little doubt. Maybe you just kind of, I don't think God quite understands. Listen, he understands. He understands. Maybe you're going through it. You know, listen, everybody's going to come to a point when you're going to feel like you can't go any further. Maybe you're there today. You're kind of wavering. You kind of just, why don't you go ahead and come get some strength from the Lord Almighty? Why don't you do some business with God, our Heavenly Father? We do love you. We do thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. God, I know it's a very simple message, but I thank God that you could not be hid. You couldn't be hid at your birth. Your presentation could not be hid. Your crucifixion could not be hid. Your earthly ministry could not be hid. Your burial could not be hid. God, you are accessible to us all the time. I thank God that you have not hid yourself on us. I pray, dear God, that as we come to this most important time, the invitation, I pray, God, that if there's some Christian that needs to do business this morning, as the Holy Spirit is impressing, I pray, God, they'll do business. Pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Christ as Savior, that they'll today become a child of God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know. The Bible says, you told me that the Bible says, the scripture is very clear that I can know 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. Today, I will not call you by name. I will not point you out. But if you'd like me to pray for you, I'll go ahead and pray for you. If you'll like that today, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Just raise your hand. Anybody at all? Okay. Thank you for that hand. Maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but there's some things in my life. I've just been facing it. I've been pushing God away. I've been kind of following the wiles of the devil, if you will, trying to push God away, and I don't want that anymore. I need to go ahead and do some business with God. Maybe you think you're hiding from God. I don't know what it is. Let me just say this. God's not hiding from you this morning. Maybe this morning, say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. You're saved. You know you for sure you're on your way to heaven, but would you please pray for me? I won't call you by name. Several hands. Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, with you, and we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how precious it is and how inexhaustible the truth of the word of God is. And I pray, dear God, that all the decisions made this morning, may they be sealed. Pray, God, that we'll leave closer to you than when we came, Lord. I pray, God, that we won't push you away, that we'll always be the kind of Christian, that we'll always be the kind of church that just welcomes you every single moment. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with those who made decisions. I pray, God, that as we go our separate ways, you give us safety. I pray, God, you bring us back safely to church tonight. I pray, Father, you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen.